Good morning, I'm Veronica Rickard, keeping you company this hour on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we're taking a musical tour of the last 25 years' most powerful songs, according to Mental Floss magazine. Well, where else will you find the theme from the kids' show Barney on the same list as Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana? Well, our guest this hour is Mangesh Hatikadur. He's co-founder and VP of Mental Floss magazine. And we're looking forward to hearing from you this morning. What's your vote for one of the most powerful songs of the past 25 years? Songs that somehow changed the world or have a fascinating backstory that was influential in our culture and our world. Our number is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And you can send your email to talk@WPR.org and vote for your favorite song on our Facebook page as well. It's The Veronica Rickard Show. And Mangesh Hatikadur, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Well, when your staff sat down at Mental Floss to write this list, what were they looking for in a powerful song?
I guess the thing we were looking for was not just songs that had been downloaded a lot or songs that were the most beautiful, but things that we could really point to something in history or something that's changed specifically. So if you take a look at the list, it's probably not what you'd expect, and we just had a lot of fun putting it together.
Yeah, it's fascinating to read, too. It's sort of a cultural tour through music of the last 25 years, which brings me to my next question, which is why 25 years?
and these songs aren't just from the last 25 years. Some of them go back to Mozart, but we just thought it would be fun to limit it. And part of the reason we did this list was you see so many of these lists out there for music, and it always goes back to people always fill their lists with folk songs and political songs, and we thought it'd be just more fun to show, a song that inspired crank callers or a song that makes sewage disappear.
Right, that one's a fascinating one. As long as you brought that one up, why don't you tell us about that?
Oh, the sewage one?
Right.
Oh, wonderful. It's actually my favorite story on the list. In Germany, the sewage plant operator named Anton Stucky was experimenting with sounds because he realized that various music tunes were affecting the microbes in his plant and causing them to digest the sewage faster. And so he started playing different tunes and he realized that Mozart had the strongest effect. So the song that's on our list at number 22 is Mozart's Magic Flute. And it ended up that it saves him about $1,200 a month in sewage costs because it causes the microbes to eat the sewage so much faster.
That's amazing. I mean, you kind of wonder about that Anton guy. Has he tested this scientifically? $1,200 is a lot of savings. And it's also interesting because Mozart gets a lot of props in our culture for doing lots of things like being good for your brain, making your kids smarter. But in terms of making sewage disappear faster, that's not one you read about every day.
I know, it's making our world so much cleaner. But my favorite part of the story is that this Anton guy doesn't even like classical music. He really hates it, and he prefers rock. And and he has to listen to classical music blaring on his stereo every day.
Right, and that's almost the most convincing part, that he's not a classical music guy.
Yeah.
Well.
Powerful argument.
I'm thinking about how I've read stories about how classical music blasted like Mozart disperses youths who are hanging around, loitering by gas stations or wherever. So.
Yeah, I remember one thing we talked about, our staff discusses all sorts of stories, and I think it was in the South somewhere where they were playing Barry Manilow to do the same thing. Equally funny.
Right, and there's a lot of songs like that on your list, songs that are played to have an effect on people, usually a psychological effect, including a whole list of songs that are played by the military, which I thought was really fascinating. And you start off, your number 20 is the song Panama by Van Halen, which has a great backstory.
When Noriega was went into hiding and the U.S. sort of invaded Panama, he was hiding out in the embassy of the Vatican, and the U.S. didn't know how to get him out, so soldiers started playing Panama and other rock songs, just blaring them, and eventually he caved. So we thought it was funny to put it on the list. But what's more amusing to us was that the song Panama isn't even about Panama. It's supposedly about David Lee Roth's station wagon.
And you wonder what it is about that song. I don't know. We'll play it a little bit for you. Maybe you can tell us what it is that makes dictators cave, Panama. Panama by Van Halen. I guess it has more power than we knew. And go through some of those other songs on the list, other songs the U.S. military has used for torture. Those are interesting.
Sure. So some of the list includes Eminem's song, The Real Slim Shady, Metallica's Enter Sandman, Queen's We Are the Champion, Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name, AC/DC, Shoot to Thrill, Christina Aguilera, Dirty. But my favorite is when it starts veering to songs you'd never expect, like Sesame Street's opening theme song gets used a lot, and the Meow Mix song from the theme song to the commercials is apparently drives people crazy.
I want to know who decides what songs are going to be psychologically scarring.
Yeah, I don't know. The Guardian did this wonderful interview and uncovered a lot of this, and that's one of our primary sources for this.
Yeah, it is fascinating and interesting, too, that the U.S. government would use music that way.
Yeah, and actually in Guantanamo, there's a place called The Disco where interrogators use the music to get detainees to talk. I can imagine if I had to hear Panama day in and day out, I'm sure I'd spill all my secrets as well.
Well, let's listen to another one. We've got one, a recording of Suzanne Vega's song, Tom's Diner. This is the a cappella version. I didn't know this was the name of the song until I heard more about what it was used for, and then it all came falling into place. We have...
There's a woman on the outside looking inside. Does she see me? No, she does not really see me because she sees her own reflection. And I'm trying not to notice that she's hitching up her skirt. And while she's straightening her stockings, her hair has gotten wet. Oh, this rain, it will continue through the morning.
That is, in case you don't know, Tom's Diner, a cappella song by Suzanne Vega there. And this is one I think that also people sort of love and love to hate equally. But aside from whether or not you like the song, this has been an incredibly influential piece of music in the way that we live and experience music now.
Yeah, absolutely. The reason we put it on the list is because this song basically was the benchmark for how the quality of an MP3, and when a German engineer was trying to figure out how to compress music down to MP3 size, he used this tune because of the warmth of the singing, and he figured that if he could replicate the quality and get it to sound right using this song, he could get any song to sound right.
What do you think about that? Do you think he was right? I mean, what is it about this particular song that would be so good at figuring out sound quality?
You know, I'm not quite sure. I think he just heard a certain amount of emotion and warmth in the tones and felt it was perfect song.
I wonder what his runner-up choices would have been. It would have been interesting to hear.
Panama. And then The Real Slim Shady.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one, because obviously MP3s have changed the way that we experience music now, and there are people who still decry the sound of MP3s and that they're not really the way we were meant to experience music, the digital format that we're losing a lot, but...
No, definitely.
It is the way it's gone.
Yeah.
I wonder what Suzanne Vega thinks about that.
Yeah, so if you hate iTunes, you should blame Suzanne Vega, and if you love it, also credit goes to Suzanne Vega.
Well, here's one of those that's... On the outside, I didn't know much about this. I knew nothing about this, in fact. Your number 13 is a John Cage piece called As Slow As Possible.
Yeah, he's a pretty well-known minimalist composer, and he did, I think his most famous song is 4 minutes 33 seconds, and it's just 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence, but we considered putting that on the list, and then we heard about this song, which is called the song As Slow As Possible, and it's just kind of incredible. He wrote a song that would take 639 years to complete, and the best way to sustain the song, he figured, was using organs. So this church in Germany has taken on the challenge of actually performing it, and they've set up these things called blowers that supply air to the machine. And the first three notes of this 8-page song took about a year and a half to play. So it's just kind of crazy that the song will outlive all of us, or the playing of the song.
So do they just sustain the notes forever and ever? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I think they sustain them until they have to, until they can't sustain them anymore. So
it's amazing that he found a place that this is being performed. Someone was willing to dedicate their resources to this 639-year-old song.
Yeah, it's incredible. So
have you ever, did you hear any of it as you were researching this, or did you just read about it?
No, we've actually only read about it.
I wonder if it would be powerful or just really boring.
Well, it's called As Slow As Possible, I imagine.
Well, you've got a picture there, which I think is the organ
which is
programmed to play this stuff. And the people are standing around, and they don't look that interested. But there are a lot of them, so it must be a happening in some sense.
I know. We're joking that the club remix is going to drop today now. That'll be so much more exciting for people.
That is a great idea. Well, another category that shows up on your list is songs that NASA has used to wake up the astronauts. And your top choice in that category is a Beyoncé song called Run the World Girls, and that woke up the astronauts.
Yeah, and that song was essentially used as a gimmick by Beyoncé to, to get publicity for her song, and she was... She sent out a shout out to the one woman, Sandy Magnus, on the 4-person crew of the Atlantis. But the reason we thought it was really fascinating is that in space, the crew was experiencing 15 sunrises and sunsets a day. Mm. So their clocks were just thrown off as a result, and that's often the case for astronauts. So NASA beams songs as wake up calls, and it's just kind of fun to see that. That this song got used in space.
What are some of the other songs on the list that have been used that same way?
The Pigs in Space theme from The Muppet Show is one of them. Who Let the Dogs Out, which I didn't expect.
Yeah.
The Sound of Music, Great Balls of Fire, Rocket Man, which you might expect, and Darth Vader theme.
That could be a little unnerving in the deep of space to hear the Darth Vader theme.
I know, unsettling, for sure.
You know, the only one on that list, to me, the rest of them kind of make sense. The Sound of Music I got stuck on, and I couldn't figure out why they would have picked that one. I love the Sound of Music, but...
Yeah, I don't know if it just reminded people of home or it felt comforting.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's one of those that everybody knows.
Yeah.
Well, what is your favorite song on the list?
My favorite to listen to, or my favorite story?
Well, you already told us your favorite sewage story, so maybe maybe your favorite to listen to.
I have fond memories of Everybody Hurts, the REM song. But I really like the Super Bowl Shuffle. I like that made the list.
Yeah, strangely, that's one I'd forgotten, but once I read it on the list, it all came back to me. In fact, just in case you don't remember, let's play a little bit of the Super Bowl Shuffle.
We are the best shuffling crew, shuffling on down, doing it for you. We're so bad, we know we're good, blowing your mind like we knew we would. You know we're just strutting for fun, strutting our stuff for everyone. We're not
Well, they call me Sweetness, and I like to dance. Running the ball is like Mickey Moe Mance. We had the goal since training camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. And we're not doing this because...
The Super Bowl Shuffle by the Bears, and they opened the floodgates.
Yeah, it that song, it's so funny because it's so often mocked, and it became a blueprint for other sports teams, and What's funny about it is that not just that it sort of showcased the swagger of this dominant football team, but they used it to raise over $300,000 for charity. It got nominated for a Grammy. It hit 41 on Billboard, and it became this envy of every other team. And as a result, it led to all these other horrible songs by teams, including Get Metsmerized by the Mets and Walk Like a Giant and Let's Ram It by the Rams.
Yeah. So. The puns are unending, aren't they?
Yeah, and the raps feel that way, too, when
well,
you listen to them.
I mean, on the other hand, that one has staying power, and I guess it did change things. Do you think those are out of style now, though, those kind of team songs? I haven't heard one in a while. I'm not exactly a football follower, though.
I think that they're certainly out of style, but there's something lovable about them, too.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine, I don't know, the Packers doing that now. I don't know, I could be wrong, but... Well, I want to, before we go into break, I want to end with the one that I thought was the most, I don't know, interesting, weird, completely unexplainable, I'll Always Love You by Whitney Houston. Let's listen first, and then you can tell us a story. This is I'll Always Sure. Love You by Whitney Houston.
Life treats you kind, and I hope you have all you dreamed of, and I wish you joy and happiness, but above all this, I wish you
First of all, I have to say, I think that's a great song. I'm not necessarily a fan of the Whitney Houston version. The Dolly Parton version, though, I think is amazing. But no matter what you think of the song, imagine that. And now tell us the story about why that song is on your list.
Sure. The story at the song made our list because we found this story that Saddam Hussein had used it as a campaign election song in Iraq. He was already sort of a well-known dictator, but to sort of win the hearts and minds of Iraqis in 2002, he decided to play the song nonstop on television for, I think, 3 days, and along with pictures of photo montages of him kissing babies and shooting guns and being as heroic as Saddam Hussein can be, I guess.
The juxtaposition of just even the picture you have in the magazine of Saddam Hussein holding an automatic rifle and I Will Always Love You by Way. I don't know. My brain can't wrap itself around
it. I know. I love it. When I found that story, I didn't believe it, and I sent it to our fact checkers, and I sent it again for fact checking, just because it sounded too good. But I agree, it's a great song and a strange use of it. So.
Well, our guest this hour is Mangesh Hatikadur. He's co-founder and VP of Mental Floss Magazine. And this hour, we're talking about their list of the 25 most powerful songs of the last 25 years. And we want to open it up and hear what you think. What do you think that the most powerful songs have been of the last 25 years and why? Our number is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And our email address is talk@wpr.org. I'm Veronica Rickert, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. One of those astronaut wake-up songs that we were discussing, that was the Beyoncé song Run the World, Girls. We're talking this hour with Mangesh Hatikadur, co-founder and VP of Mental Floss Magazine. He's here this hour to talk about their new list of the 25 most powerful songs of the last 25 years. And we'll take a caller now. We've got Bill joining us from Beldenville. Hi, Bill.
Hi, I was just calling to see if your guest stuff on any of the Pink Floyd music compelling enough to make the list.
All right.
I personally love Pink Floyd, but we couldn't find a great story that related strong enough. We did find a story about The Wall, or one track off The Wall, I forget which one, being used in South Africa to during apartheid. And I forget the story exactly, but I know it was on the short list, but we couldn't support it with enough evidence.
All right. Well, thank you, Bill. And your number 21 on the list is a piece which you might not know by its name, Grand Vals. Tell us that story.
Yeah, the reason that song made the list is because it's actually the basis for the Nokia 13-note song that's become a ringtone. And it's actually a piece from a 1902 guitar solo written by Francisco Torrega. But in 1993, a Nokia exec heard it, and he thought it would make the perfect ringtone. So as a result, it's played something like, it's heard 1.8 billion times each day and 20,000 times per second, which is just staggering.
And let's add one to that here. Let's give a listen. Yep.
Yeah,
that's all right.
So if you're annoyed at the person for ruining your kid's piano concert, you can blame Francisco Torrega.
I kind of like it a little bit more now that I know it's from a piece of Spanish guitar, though.
I know.
It's got a good pedigree.
Certainly.
Our next caller is Steven Madison. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Veronica. Great show today.
Thanks.
One of the songs that has a pretty interesting backstory that not a lot of people know, you probably do, was the old Quincy Jones production, We Are the World. We brought, you know, Michael Jackson and everybody on the planet together to help with hunger in, I forget, the Sudan or Somalia or whatever. Raised millions of dollars. They got a boatload of food, sent it over to Africa. The ruling group in power ended up taking all that food, putting it on trucks, rolling it out into the desert, dumping it into the sand, and it went rotten in a couple of days. Quincy Jones said it was the biggest mistake of his life.
Is that true?
That is true.
Wow.
Quincy Jones' biography. Not a lot of people know that story, but that's what happened to all that food and all that money from We Are the World.
That's totally tragic. Wasted. That was a really good song.
Yes.
Yeah.
An idea, it seemed like.
That's crazy and so sad. We actually almost put, we didn't put it on the list, but we found a story about how Eddie Murphy was actually supposed to be on that song as well, and Quincy Jones called him up and asked him to come into the studio and sing on it, and he said, I'm working on something that's too good right now, I can't make it, and it turned out he was working on My Girl Likes to Party All the Time at the time. Thought that was more important than joining.
I guess that was a hit after all, but yeah. I mean, wonder about the priorities there, but
yeah.
Well, interesting story. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that story with us, Steve. And I want to look at another one of the songs on your list that made a big impact in terms of the music industry. Now, we talked earlier about MP3s and Suzanne Vega's song.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us about Jigsaw Falling Into Place by Radiohead.
Sure. The you know, when after Napster and all these this movement of people sharing music and being able to download files for free and illegally, a lot of bands and record companies were confused about how to go about selling music. And Radiohead did this really unusual thing with this album In Rainbows and the song Jigsaw Falling Into Place, where they decided to cut out the middlemen and allow people to download the song for whatever they wanted to pay for it. And this pay what you think it's worth model ended up being incredibly successful. There were, like, I think 3 million downloads with people paying about $8 on average for the album. And it was just something that was highly unusual, and it led to not only other bands sort of copying this model, but Paste magazine did the same thing with their magazine. Other people started incorporating this pay-what-you-want idea, and it just sort of revolutionized music.
Let's take a listen to that one.
Just as you take my hand, just as you write my number down, just as the drinks arrive, just as they play your favorite songs, your breath disappears. No one wound up like a spring before you had too much. Come back and focus again.
The song Jigsaw Falling Into Place by Radiohead. And I'm wondering about, why do you think, this is kind of a little beyond the purview of your article, but why do you think that was such an effective model?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. Well, I mean, when someone tells you you can download a great album for free, and they've got all these fans who've just been waiting on edge for Radiohead to drop an album, it's going to cause a buzz. I mean, I certainly was one of the 8 million who downloaded it, or 3 million, I guess. And it was great. It was the idea that these people just want you to have the music. That it's not, they're going to set a price. They're just going to give it to you, and you can value it for whatever artistic merit it has. You know, is just incredible.
Did it work as well for Paste magazine?
It didn't, sadly. It did keep them afloat for a little while longer, but Paste, which was a really wonderful magazine, ended up folding their print edition.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, let's take another phone call now. Bill joins us from Burlington. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you doing? Great show today. What a neat thing.
Doing well,
thanks.
I love
Mental Floss, by the way. I just absolutely enjoy it. And I want to work for you guys at some point. I wanted to talk real quickly about the John Cage, just make a comment about the John Cage composition you mentioned before. I think it'd be great if that, you know, 650 years later when everyone's gathering for the final notes, if it just ends on a nice shave and a haircut. But I wanted to also mention, because you had spoken earlier about torture and how it was used for those purposes, and I had heard, and I don't know if it was just a story or if it was true, that BYOB by System of a Down was used in those situations, which is, I find ironic, because it's an anti-war song.
What was the song?
It's BYOB by a group called System of a Down.
Okay.
And it's Bring Your Own Bomb is basically the anthem of the song. But it's a really interesting track, and I wondered if there's anyone who had the same kind of impact politically that someone like Dylan did back in the 60s and early 70s.
Okay, good question.
You know, first off, I haven't heard that the System of a Down song was used, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's something that's in the rotation at the disco in Guantanamo. But I don't know. It's really hard to figure out someone who's impacted, you know, politics more than Dylan. I think, you know, that part of the reason we did this list is we were tired of seeing Dylan in like five spots in the top 10 songs.
Right.
Although I love, I love lots of his music. So.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Bill. Appreciate that. And it'd be interesting to see if John Cage, you know, has a good sense of humor 639 years from now. See how it ends. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of thing we'll never know, but I guess I suppose he could tell us, do it at, I don't know, you can't do double time. I don't know what you'd have to do to get the song to end a little bit sooner, but it's interesting to speculate about.
Yeah.
Well, another one, which was a bit controversial at the time, and I guess has since become less so, is the duet that Natalie Cole did with her father, Nat King Cole, Unforgettable.
Yeah. Were you going to play that? Or?
No, go ahead. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, in 1991, it was this huge hit because Natalie Cole, the daughter of the great Nat King Cole, decided to do a duet with him on Unforgettable, and the sort of digital technology at the time allowed for her producers to make it sound like they were actually duetting at the same time, and it was just really exciting. But a lot of people saw it as unethical because, you know, they thought she was just using her father's fame to boost her own credibility, I guess. And it's a shame. What's funny is that it was so controversial at the time, I guess, and so many people have made great music after it. You know, the Beatles did "Free as a Bird." Janet Jackson teamed up with Michael Jackson. Lisa Marie Presley is sung with Elvis, and it's just become a common thing. But it's funny to see how something that seems as harmless as doing a duet with your dad caused so much chaos.
Well, even her mom criticized her for doing that, right?
Yeah, she did.
And people did have powerful reactions. Some people thought it was really creepy and
continue
to. I mean, I think there's something about that first duet that really was striking.
Yeah, and there was a video with it, too. And I think seeing some of that play on the screen also just fed the flames.
And forevermore.
And forevermore.
That's how you stay.
That's how you stay.
That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
It does sound good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whatever you have to say about it, I think they made it sound pretty easy on the ears.
Yeah, that was part of the. I'm sure what was so disconcerting to people was that it sounded as good as it did, too.
Right. So. Well, I want to go back to an earlier discussion we were having about campaign theme songs. We talked about how "I Will Always Love You," the Whitney Houston version, was Saddam Hussein's campaign theme song at one point. But there are other awkward campaign anthems, weren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And you find this happens almost every election cycle where artists complain about songs being used. But what one thing that we thought was funny was or interesting was Ronald Reagan in 1984 used Bruce Springsteen's "Born in the USA" as his backdrop for, you know, his message of hope. And and the song is actually about, you know, a mistreated, disillusioned Vietnam vet, and Bruce Springsteen also wasn't happy about Reagan using it.
Well, these days, I mean, do artists have the legal wherewithal to say you can't use that?
Some artists certainly do. I think John Mellencamp Cougar or John Cougar Mellencamp. I think he pulled his song from someone using it. And it's also interesting to see what people choose. I mean, the fact that McCain chose an ABBA song is just stunning and
quirky.
And he's a huge ABBA fan, apparently.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. And there was, I don't know this song, "Sam and Dave, Hold On, I'm Coming."
Yeah.
For Obama. I must have missed that.
Yeah, I wasn't that familiar with the song either, but the singer Sam Moore asked Obama to not use it in the rotation because he didn't want to feel like he was being political or endorsing a candidate.
Well, and another choice you kind of have to question a little bit is the song "Crazy" by Patsy Cline for Ross Perot.
Yeah, I love it. I think he just embraced the fact that people thought he was crazy getting into the race and being a third party candidate twice. So. Yeah, it's fun to see that he picked "Crazy."
We're talking this hour with Mangesh Hatikador, co-founder and VP of Mental Floss Magazine. We're talking about their list of the 25 most powerful songs of the last 25 years. These are songs that have somehow changed the world, influenced how we live today, or have a fascinating backstory about the impact that they had and the way that they were used. And we'd love to hear your take on what would be on your list of the 25 most powerful songs of the last 25 years. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send your email to talk@wpr.org or place your vote on our Facebook page at The Veronica Rickert Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
You down, never gonna run around and desert you.
the Rick Astley song that went on to have a new life. We're talking about the 25 most powerful songs of the last 25 years with Mangesh Hatikadur, the VP and co-founder of Mental Floss magazine. And I'm Veronica Rickert. Tell us about that song.
Sure. The Never Gonna Give You Up got this surprising second life recently when people started this practice of Rickrolling on the internet. It's this internet prank where, a coworker would send you an email with links to an article, and you click on it, and surprise, you'd get this video pop-up instead. And we just thought it was kind of a strange phenomenon and sort of hilarious one. But what's funny is how far it kind of went. And this last April, the legislature in Oregon released a video where they'd actually slipped bits of this Rick Astley song into their impassioned speeches and then tied them together in a video. So one of the funniest versions of Never Gonna Give You Up is the Oregon legislature.
I saw that one, it. Yeah. I wonder what Rick Astley makes of it, though.
I don't know. I think he's probably pretty thrilled.
Well, I was going to say it's a little bit, he's part of a cultural phenomenon, and it's a little bit, I think, that he's being made fun of.
Yeah.
A little bit of each. It's the video. I guess the white jeans might have something to do with it.
I guess so.
Well, let's take our next phone call. We have Dalla calling from Montello. Hi, Dalla.
Hi. I was wondering if the song Don't Worry, Be Happy made it to the list, because it really had an impact on everybody I know and everywhere, for sure, in the United States.
Yeah, that's a great song. And so do you think what is powerful for you is the fact that it actually made you happy?
It did. It was a good song. I still will write that. If someone's in a down mood or something, I'll write, Don't Worry, Be Happy. And I did watch a show. The singer songwriter is a professor now, but it followed him a long time, I think, to the point where he almost got almost sad that he wrote it.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
Okay, I was just wondering if it made the list.
It's not on the list. I love Bobby McFerrin, and I think he's great. But what's funny about this list is that we. If we chose songs we actually liked, this wouldn't be the list. I think if you took the 25 songs we've got here and someone gave me a mixtape of them, I'd probably be pretty upset.
It is a good song. And thank you for your call, Dalla. And in terms of music, having an impact on the way that we think and the way that we feel, you have a song on your list about number 9 is the saddest song according to science. And according to science, these songs actually do have a depressive effect on the brain.
Yeah, the song we picked as number 9 was the Verve song, The Drugs Don't Work, and it's written in 1997 about the lead singer Richard Ashcroft's dad as he was dying in his hospital bed. And it's a pretty depressing song, but what's interesting is that the University of Bristol scientists sort of realized that when you play the song, it can actually slow down your heart rate or your breathing, and it can actually be kind of a switch onto sadness, which is just kind of fascinating.
Let's take a listen to that one.
But I know I'm on a losing streak, 'cause I passed down my old street. And if you want to show, just let me know and I'll sing in your ear again. Now the trucks don't work, they just make you worse, but I know I'll see your face again.
That is a sad song. I haven't heard it before, just that little bit, yeah.
Yeah. It gives you real insight as to why music is so powerful and why, the previous caller probably felt so good from Don't Worry, Be Happy, and why when you're heartbroken, you listen to the same song on repeat.
Well, you do have a list of the happiest songs according to science. What's on that list?
ABBA's Dancing Queen is on there. Shiny Happy People by R.E.M. She Loves You by the Beatles. Crazy in Love by Beyonce, Baby One More Time by Britney Spears.
Is that for real? How are these tested?
I don't know the universe of the songs that were tested, but I know that physiologist Harry Witchell, it was the lead scientist at this University of Bristol study, and he actually took all these songs and sampled them on a number of test subjects and determined which ones, you know, excited their heart rate the most or slowed it down or really changed their physical states.
Well, go back to our phone lines, and let me just say that we do have a couple of empty phone lines for you right now if you want to call in with your vote for one of the 25 most powerful songs of the last 25 years. Our number, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. And we go next to Susie in Springfield, Illinois. Hi, Susie.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
First of all, I have to say I'm a huge, huge Mental Floss fan. I've been with you guys since almost the beginning.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely the greatest for those of us who need the random facts to stuff our brains. And, you know, so great, great magazine. I'm so glad you made it. Only one thing. Make that shirt a different color, so you'll get that. Anyway, I can't remember if I don't think this was on the list, but I was thinking Soft Cell's Tainted Love, if used inappropriately, like most songs, that could be so great for a political theme, for Saturday Night Live's political theme. And it's just a great song, and I don't have the internet in front of me to see who's misused it, but I'm sure someone has.
Whose song is that again? I missed it.
Soft Cell.
Soft Cell. I know that song, but I didn't know the band. Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Everybody roller skated holding hands to that one at one time in their life. If they didn't, then they're lying. I do have a question for you. So you were looking at the psychology of the sad songs and all. What if Don't Worry, Be Happy just makes you want to smack somebody?
Then you're in trouble.
Yeah. I just think it's the victim of being overplayed, but
yeah. I don't know. I haven't hit my max on that one yet. It doesn't get as much airtime as it used to, so that helps a lot.
Yeah. What a funny idea, though.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Susie. And our next caller is Stacy in Milwaukee. Hi, Stacy.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I was wondering, because I just got off a long road trip with my kids, and we heard Runaway Train on the radio, and my daughter was looking at me funny because I got so into it, but I told her the story how it encouraged a lot of runaway kids to go back home when it came out. It was a really big deal.
I'm glad you brought that one up. That one is on the list. Let's listen, and then we'll hear the story.
Keep it seems no one can help me.
The song Runaway Train by Soul Asylum, and this is a song that has sort of a sad backstory.
Yeah, it's a great song, and the band really saw this song as an opportunity to reunite runaway kids with their families, and they put a lot of effort into it. They got this famous director, Tony Kaye, who went on to direct American History X, and he directed the video, and they shot, I think, six different versions of it, three in the U.S. and one in the U.K. and Australia and Germany, and they filled it with pictures of runaway kids, hoping that they could find them. And what's really sad about it is that while many of the kids turned up, the results weren't always pretty. So some of the kids were actually dead, which is sad, and then some were forced to return to some horrible situations. I think there's a quote from the lead singer where he was saying, "You know, there's a reason that young kids run away, mostly because of abuse." And while there were some sort of happy results from the video, the situations that drive the 11 or 13 year old to run away is often a pretty sad one.
So I'm sorry, Stacey, if that's not the full story that you knew. It is a bit darker story, but it's interesting to know the true history of these songs that we've heard so often.
Yeah.
And we move to Mike in Ashland. Hi, Mike.
Hello. I would like to mention the song that was in the movie Pocahontas, Colors of the Wind. And it's a song, it seems to me, that tries to bring people together that have differences.
I'm trying to remember that one. I saw that movie, and I think it was a beautiful song, but I can't remember. Did you include any of those feel-good, unity-building songs?
We didn't. A lot of the songs were made our list, and our editors were sort of furiously lobbying for the stories they wanted in. But we certainly thought about a lot of them. The Pocahontas song wasn't on the list, but it probably would have been good if we could have found a Disney song that had affected the world.
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, thank you, Mike, for calling up with that suggestion. And let's go next to Tom in Madison. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a suggestion. Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very powerful song politically.
What is the story of that song politically, Tom?
I'm not real positive. I just I've heard the song a lot, and I know it's been kind of used. I know Obama used it a little bit in his campaign, and he's a Canadian, so it might have Canadian roots.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a fabulous song. It's a very deep song. I never quite know what it's about. I don't know. It's not on your list, but do you have any thoughts on that one, Mangesh?
No, I love that song, and I think you can sense that Leonard Cohen is a poet. I think wasn't he like a poet laureate or something before, and then only started playing music in his 30s. And I think there's definitely something stunning and striking about that song.
All right, thank you, Tom. And on to Don in West Salem. Hey, Don.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I've got two, actually, that mean a lot and should be on the list. One would be either the vocal or the instrumental, preferably the vocal from MASH. And the song War. I believe Edwin Starr.
Good suggestions, Mangesh.
We're actually doing a story on TV shows that have changed the world this year. It's sort of our version of music was last year, and MASH is probably going to be on that list. But it's so funny. Everyone, what's fun about putting out these lists is that everyone can argue with it, you know. and even I mean, I tried to get this B-52 song "Rock Lobster" on in the mix because, strangely enough, John Lennon had stopped playing music for 5 years, and it was the song that convinced him to pick up his guitar again and start playing. And I just think it's so bizarre that is the one song that influenced John Lennon. But I think, you know, we love that people argue with this, and I absolutely think this is not definitive for certainly your opinions.
Well, I want to get to number one on your list, just to make sure we have time for it. We'll probably have a little time afterwards, but
sure.
Let's give a drum roll and tell us what number one is. That's your cue.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I didn't hear. I was waiting for the drum roll.
Well, it was a metaphorical drum roll in our minds, the drum roll of our minds. What's number one?
I appreciate it. Well, the number one song is Barney the Dinosaur's I Love You. And the reason put this at the first song was it's the song that makes terrorists tremble. Of all the songs in Guantanamo that are played at that spot called the Disco, where the interrogators use music to get the detainees to talk, this is actually the most effective song in the mix, and it was just incredible for us to learn that Barney, which seems like this innocuous tune that kids are humming and singing and parents detest after a certain point, is actually used to get terrorists to talk.
I love you, you love me, we're a happy family with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Won't you say you love me?
There's the number one song on your list, Barney, the song you say that makes bad guys tremble. And you write that after listening to that, detainees start to feel that life is meaningless and it's time to give up. I never quite heard it that way. It would be interesting if you could really get to the bottom of the psychology of that. But I guess for now, it's enough to know that it works. Mangesh, thank you so much for talking with us this hour. It's been a delight.
Always a pleasure. And thank you so much for supporting our little magazine. We really appreciate it.
Mangesh Atikadur was our guest this hour, co-founder and VP of Mental Floss Magazine. And we've been talking this hour about their new list, the 25 most powerful songs of the last 25 years. Thank you to Rhonda Fanning and Chrissy Pease for production, and Chrissy answered your phone calls this morning as well. I'm Veronica Rickert, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'll see you next Friday.